chapter 23. We've got it up on the screen, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Let us pray. Lord, remember us today as we spend this time together remembering you. Father, I pray that the same resurrection power that raised your Son from the dead will be working in all of us as we hear your precious and all-powerful word. Amen. There were three crosses at the place of the skull that day, the cross of Jesus and a criminal's cross on both sides of him. Now, we don't know all the evil deeds that these two criminals receiving capital punishment had committed. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know for one thing that they had both stolen. They were thieves. But I'm sure there was a long list of criminal offences hanging around their necks. Make no mistake about it. They were bad men. That's why the Romans were executing them. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 12, which was a prophecy some 700 years before this crucifixion, that these men were transgressors, lawbreakers, offenders. They had done the wrong thing. They were evil, sinful men deserving punishment. And from the onset of their slow and ugly execution, according to the other Gospels, both of the men were casting insults at Jesus. Not just one of them, but both threw insults at Jesus. Let's take a little time on this dark and stormy Good Friday to see what was really going down on this earth-shattering day. Jesus, in his slow, unbearably torturous death, when his whole body had somehow survived a Roman flogging and was now excruciatingly hanging on a Roman cross with every joint in his body being wrenched out of its socket, Jesus, at this point, was surrounded by Roman soldiers, religious leaders, and criminals, cursing, mocking, and taunting him. The religious leaders were happy to be rid of him, and they made it their aim to make his death as miserable as possible by spiritually scorning him with their cheap comments. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God." The Roman soldiers agreed. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." One of the ignorant criminals hanging next to Jesus joined in with them by shouting, "Aren't you supposed to be the Christ? Well, if you are, why don't you save yourself and us? Come on, do it." The language coming from the criminals and soldiers would have been foul. Dirty, soiled, evil talk, evil words. Words that came from the mouth of sinful men whose ears were only tuned in to Satan. because they were busy doing Satan's bidding. They were unknowingly under his command. Every comment made around the cross was opposite to what Christ spoke and stood for. The whole scene at the place of the skull had the appearance of being totally controlled by Satan. Let me say that again. The whole scene at the place of the skull had the appearance of being totally controlled by Satan as the powers of darkness swirled around the cross. Make no mistake, there was a heavy concentration of demonic activity that day, taunting and accusing as they chorused with the people on earth who were rejecting Jesus. From where Christ hung, everything he saw, everything he heard, everything he smelt, everything he tasted, everything he felt could only be described as torment and anguish. Torment and anguish. But something amazing happened in the middle of this evilest moment on earth. As the powers of darkness were rubbing their hands together in glee, saying, "We've got him. Look what mankind is doing for us. We convinced them in the Garden of Eden not to listen to God. And now, in the place of the skull, we have convinced them to kill God's son. God has well and truly been rejected by man. Man's allegiance is with us. Satan has overthrown the all-powerful God because mankind is doing Satan's bidding right to the point of destroying God's son." This was Satan's triumph cry. "I have the victory because man has rejected God's only son once and for all." Isaiah got it right when he said that Jesus was despised and rejected. Here on this dark day, man was indeed despising and rejecting Jesus, God's son. And now Satan could claim that man's allegiance was well and truly his. The Bible says that from noon till 3 PM, a darkness came over the whole land. An unexplained darkness. Was it because of the concentration of demonic activity? Or was it because God had turned his back on his own son? A darkness came over the whole land. And yet, in the middle of the darkest moment on earth, and let me tell you, it was the darkest moment on earth, literally and spiritually. You know, I believe all the animals were probably hiding. The birds wouldn't have been singing. It would have been very quiet in the animal kingdom, like it was my dogs were quiet and ran under a lounge when a tornado hit my house. They somehow know that there's something very weird going on. I believe all the animals would have been quiet, hiding somewhere. In the middle of the darkest moment on earth, the Holy Spirit was doing something quite amazing in one of the thieves hanging next to Jesus. This is how much God loves mankind. While the Son of God, after being brutally beaten, is hanging on the cross for the sins of the world, while he's being made the scapegoat for all mankind, the Holy Spirit, in the middle of the dirtiest battle on earth, was convicting the heart of the filthy sinner next to Jesus. This was this sinner's divine appointment with God. God had chosen this time for him to receive everlasting life. It was his moment to say yes or no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Something was stirring the hardened criminal's heart as he hung there. He watched the people mock, jeer, and spit on Jesus. And to begin with, he'd been a part of it himself. But he could see that Jesus had been beaten badly, much worse than himself. Jesus had been tortured beyond recognition. They'd pulled out his beard. They shoved a crown of thorns on his head. He could see all that. This thief had heard about Jesus, like everybody else. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew Jesus only did good. Everybody knew it. They all knew it. And the knowledge of the innocence and holiness of Jesus made this thief feel very unclean. The thief knew that he personally deserved what he was getting because he said it. He knew that he deserved death for the sins he'd committed. Hey, he'd done bad things, things that no one knew about. He was a sinner. But this Jesus, he was perfect. Jesus only ever did good. He'd heard, he'd seen that Jesus only did good. Jesus healed people. Jesus fed people. Jesus saved people. Jesus taught people how to live. Jesus had only done good. He couldn't let the other thief jeer Jesus anymore. It wasn't right. Something very, very wrong was happening here. Something very evil was going down, and he didn't want to be a party to it anymore. He needed to tell his partner in crime that this is God we're dealing with. This is God. He had a revelation. God is doing something that we need to address in ourselves. So he shouted to the other thief, "Don't you fear God? We've got the same sentence as him. But we deserve our punishment because we've done the wrong thing. But this man has done nothing wrong. Stop it. Leave him alone." Right there, in the middle of his own execution, this thief, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, was getting a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Christ was the pure and holy Son of God. That blows my mind. Stay with me. Try and see it as I'm seeing it. Right there, in the middle of his own execution, the thief, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, was getting a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. This proves to me that God's salvation can happen anytime, anywhere, to anyone. Don't ever give up hope. This was during Satan's best moment on earth. It was at the darkest hour, the hour of seemingly absolute despair for creation. Turning to Jesus, the convicted thief said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was his sinner's prayer. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It was nothing fancy, nothing religious, but genuine and straight from a faith-filled, repentant heart. And do you know what my beautiful Lord and Savior said? "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus rewarded the faith of this repentant man with the promise that that very day they would be together in paradise. Today, what speed. With me, what company. In paradise, what a place. Jesus, in his worst hour, had slipped a soul into his kingdom right from under the nose of Satan. Jesus Christ died for the individual. You know, I really believe Satan would have been there in person at the crucifixion of Christ. I believe that. And when he heard that, he was probably thinking, "What's paradise?" Because it didn't exist before. Paradise, that is what Jesus has prepared for us. He didn't know what was going on. Jesus Christ died for the individual. Jesus Christ's death was personal. From the side of the cross that day, one person went to paradise. Maybe this thief was the first to actually enter paradise after Jesus. Who knows? I think he probably was. One person went to paradise, but another passed from this world into Hades. Which side of the cross are you on? Only those who believe in Jesus can receive his loving provision. Hey, the sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient for us all, but it is effective only for those who place their trust in him. Both thieves would have been welcome, but only one chose Jesus. Is your faith in Jesus this morning? That's where it needs to be. If you should die tomorrow, where will you go? Will you be in paradise with Jesus, or will you go somewhere else? If you are not sure, might I suggest that you say the same thing as a criminal being executed next to Jesus? Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. But say it with a heart that recognizes that without his forgiveness, you don't get to heaven, because you don't deserve it on your own. We've all fallen short of God's standards. There's nothing you can do that would earn eternal life with God. Only when you recognize that Christ was innocent and he died in your place can you be assured a place in paradise. Hallelujah. We're going to remember Jesus with the communion right now. Communion is all about remembering Jesus. But what I want to challenge you on this morning is, would Jesus remember you? Have you asked him to? One day, you will stand before God and he will either say, yes, I know this person, I died for them, or I don't know them, I don't remember them. It's Good Friday today. Make sure it is indeed good for you by receiving him as your Saviour. While the band comes up to play, I would like the ushers to begin to distribute the emblems for communion. And while they're distributing the emblems, I'm going to read from Isaiah 53. Now, it is our custom in this church to hold on to the emblems. So please hold on to them until we're ready to take them all together. Isaiah 53, and I think we've got it up on the overhead. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Has Christ made intercession for your transgressions, for your wrongdoing? Before we take communion, if you want Jesus to remember you, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I would like to pray for you. I'd like all eyes closed and all heads bowed, and I know you're holding those emblems, but keep them tight in your hand. While all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you would like Jesus to remember you today, if you would like Jesus to forgive you of your sins today, if you would like an insurance that if you should die today, you will be in paradise with him, well, today is where you raise your hand and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if you raise your hand, I would like to pray for you that salvation will come into your heart. Is there anybody here today? Yep, I can see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, I can see that hand. Anybody else? Yep, I can see that one. I can see that one. Anybody else? Yes, I can see your hand. I can see your hand and your hand. Heavenly Father, you've seen hands go up right through this place. You're speaking to these people now in a very personal way, just like you spoke to this criminal in a personal way. And this is their time today to say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry of how I have been living my life. I want to live it how you want me to live it. I want to make you, Lord. Lord, for these people who you're speaking to, as they raise their hands, I pray that today, by the power of your Spirit, you will come freshly into their hearts, Lord. Wash their sins away and make them new in you. Lord, I pray each person will have that assurance that you are indeed their Savior, that you love them and you are their personal friend. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation. Lord, for the children in particular as well that have lifted their hands today. Lord, I pray that they will live good lives, holy and pleasing to you, Lord. That, Lord, you will keep them safe and you will guide them every day of their lives, Lord. I pray that they will have a conscience towards you, God, always. And, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this communion that we are about to take right now. Lord, we have heard. Actually, would everybody please stand? Lord, we've heard today how torturous it would have been for you. And we really can't even begin to imagine what they put your body through. But God, this bread represents your body today. And we thank you for what you allowed them to do on our behalf. Jesus, we love you. And we take this emblem remembering you. Amen. Let us eat of the bread. Is there anyone out there that would like to pray a loud prayer over the blood of Christ? Hallelujah. Let us lift our cups and say, till he comes, till he comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that we won't dismiss your word in our hearts, but Lord, when we go our separate ways, we will carry your word in us and mull over it and think about it. Never, ever let it go. Lord, thank you for your presence. Amen.